The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
The following program was pre-recorded and the views expressed do not necessarily represent those of this station or its management.
We don't need no education. We don't need no thought control.
Get ready to take notes because school is now in session. Tackling the biggest issues in education, this is Education America. Save the classroom, save the country. Here are your hosts, Headmaster Rebecca Hagstrom and co-host Abigail Johnson.
Hey, teacher, leave the kids alone.
Welcome to Education America, where we are working to save the classroom so that we can save the country. Join the conversation. K-12 education is the playing field where the battle is on for the future of our country. As the 16th President Abraham Lincoln succinctly stated, the philosophy of the schoolroom in one generation will be the philosophy of government in the next. And of course, I am joined in studio again with my wonderful co-host, Abigail Johnson.
Yeah, here we are.
Yeah.
In the middle of winter.
I know.
It's
hang
dark
in there, dear.
It's cold. I mean, I heard there are airplanes that fly out to warm places all the time.
I'll be on one of those in a couple of weeks.
Oh, my gosh. Well, you know, I mean, there's room in your suitcase for me, right? Just don't notice. Just pay no attention if it's a little heavier than you thought it
you
should be.
You are tiny.
I don't know if you're quite that tiny. I don't take up much room. So, I don't know. Maybe I'll just kind of wait around at the airport and see, you know.
But with you, doesn't come your four children, dog, and your husband?
Too. Oh, yeah. That too. They really do, Kenneth. They weigh me down, man, sometimes.
Someday you'll be living the life I am living, where I have four adult children and we get to actually go on vacation with them.
Oh, sounds so good.
No, I am excited. I'm very much looking forward to being together with our family.
Yeah.
But yeah, we are going to be talking about kind of a common topic tonight, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yep. So really fun here. We're going to be talking about academic reparations that are now taking place on a lot of schools. And you might be thinking, academic reparations, that's a really,
what is that?
What the heck? What are you even talking about?
Yeah.
Well, you know, this idea for chatting about this topic has honestly come from a large number of different stories that we've seen across the country. Mm-hmm. But the largest one that I'll just touch on very briefly is, I don't know how many of you were paying attention in the news a few weeks ago, but there's a county in, it's
Fairfax.
A suburb of D.C. It's called Fairfax County.
In Virginia. Mm-hmm.
And it's a very, very liberal-leaning county. And so they have moved all of that doctrine into their schools. And so what we found out was that at a number of different schools in this county, students who won the National Merit Scholarship were not even notified that they won.
Schools. And this started out with just one school.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, Fairfax County, you might recognize that because that's the same county where we had the big controversy with the dad who, remember, went to the school board meeting. And
is that Fairfax or was it Loudoun?
Oh, you're right. That was Loudoun. That was Loudoun.
I mean, which is
all
ridiculous.
Of Virginia.
I mean,
right?
Honestly, I've never visited
Virginia.
I'd love to go there.
Except for Governor Youngkin.
Yes. I mean, I've heard it's a beautiful state. I'd love to go. But again, you know, those darn
beautiful.
Four kids.
Yes,
they really
you're
do.
Right. Yeah. But anyway, but in a way, kind of the same type of idea, right?
Yes.
We know that these counties are very left-leaning and are very much embracing this whole notion. But what really irked me when I learned of this story is that it wasn't, in the end, just one principal who chose to withhold that information. And by the way, our listeners need to know that the way the National Merit Corporation lets people know is through the school.
Mm-hmm.
So that is your only way of knowing. Mm-hmm. You know if you're going to be a finalist, or not a finalist, but a semifinalist. And then you have to go through this process and anyway, take the test again. But then In the end, it's the school. And so when I heard that one principal had done this, I thought, how dare that principal? Mm-hmm. These students, this is something they have earned mm-hmm. fair and square. And it affects college options because colleges fight for kids who are national merit yeah. scholars of any
kind.
I mean,
and there are massive to either tuition.
Oh, yeah. Lots of scholarships.
I mean, I knew yeah. someone, a good friend of mine, was a national merit scholar in high school. And I believe she pretty much went to college for free all 4 years. So this is a huge deal.
It's a huge deal. But then what really irked me is that when all came out, it turned out that other principals in that same county also admitted to withholding that information. Mm-hmm. So this wasn't a one-off. This wasn't just a crazy principal mm-hmm. who was so left-leaning that he took everything into his own hands and, you know, interpreted Ibram X. Kendi's book, How to Be an Anti-Racist. He thinks that, boy, this will do it, you know. Because, of course, that's what Kendi says. You know, you get rid of racism by having more racism mm-hmm. against other groups. And so I'm sure this one, I thought, oh, this one principal took this into his own hands. But no. Mm-hmm. Clearly, they were probably collaborating and yep. saying, hey, let's do this. If we all do it, maybe it won't be quite as obvious. Mm-hmm. I don't know what they were thinking.
Well, and their rationale, I just thought, wow, boy, y'all are right out front with this. I mean, they just basically said it'll make the other kids feel bad
yeah.
to see that, you know, amongst their peers, there are some mm-hmm. high achieving students. Yeah. And so we can't have that. We can't have some kids feel bad. So we're literally going to change the trajectory of other students' lives so that other kids don't feel bad. And I thought, well, I mean, that's great modeling there. That completely reflects real life. I mean,
oh, yeah.
we are mm-hmm. always able to completely change the trajectory of large business deals and people's finances
so that we don't
feel bad.
Well, and that's at the core of the whole grading change. You know, we've talked mm-hmm. about this before on our show, Abigail, the equity grading, and that is starting to sweep many, many districts across the nation. And I would say also in private schools. This is not mm-hmm. none of this is limited to just public schools, by the way. When we're talking about yep. anything with respect to critical race theory or anti-racism practices, DEI, you know, diversity, equity, inclusion, that is both public and private. So yep. you do really have to pick your school wisely. In fact, in this article regarding the Fairfax County schools, they talked about this Harvard Westlake, which is evidently, by some measures, one of the top prep schools in the entire nation, and how they wrote a 20-page letter to their families last summer telling them how racist they were and how they were going to correct their racism. And, of course, as always, mm-hmm. where do you start? With the U.S. history curriculum.
Mm-hmm.
And what do you replace it with? Well, even if you don't replace it specifically using the 1619 project curriculum, which, by the way, they've got curriculum ready and waiting,
yep.
and they are just feeding it to people left and right who will take it, and it's being taken in a lot of districts mm-hmm. and was right away. So even if they don't use that, you know that those ideas that are present in the 1619 project are what are replacing the U.S. history courses mm-hmm. that were probably solid history courses.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody has ever, by the way, in this conversation, not just yours and mine, but in the greater conversation, I don't think there are people saying that U.S. history shouldn't be taught truthfully. You know, everybody mm-hmm. agrees that the warts and the horrors of slavery
oh, absolutely.
Need to be shared. But to completely use which, you know, by admittance, the 1619 author admitted that this wasn't the origin story of America. She mm-hmm. said, I said it's an
origin story.
Yeah.
But it's true. Right. So, I mean, yeah. really what people need to understand, it's not about the content, as in everyone wants history, real history, warts and all to be taught.
So that we can learn.
But
right?
what do you need? Yeah. You need context.
Yes.
You need context. You need to understand, wait a minute, did any other country do bad mm-hmm. things ever? Mm-hmm. Why? Yes, they did. Mm-hmm. In fact, you're very hard pressed. I don't know that yeah. I've ever heard of a country that in their, you know, hundreds of years as a country has never either treated a person or a group of people wrong or oppressed them. That is what history teaches you. Mm-hmm. It teaches you that, unfortunately, terribly, you know, we in America, we do not have the monopoly on oppression. Mm, we really, really don't. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. There is nothing new. The more that you study history, the more that you read classical works of literature, what does it teach you? There's nothing new under the sun. Mm-hmm. People have been evil in their heart from the beginning. And there are always cycles to this. What does it say? Hard times create good men. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, good times create weak men.
And that's true.
Which then lead to hard times. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of been, I mean, if you read classical works of literature, what are they about? Mm-hmm. They're about the epic struggle of humans to try to better themselves, mm-hmm. overcome massive obstacles that seem discouraging. Mm-hmm. What do we want to do? We praise people who are
courageous.
Day in, day out, showing up, mm-hmm. you know, showing grit, doing thankless jobs that then one day mm-hmm. have this, you know, beautiful outcome. Those are the things that we learn when we're immersing ourselves in history and, again, mm-hmm. classical works mm-hmm. of literature. But you do see, yep, you need both content and context, mm-hmm. though, for history.
Well, and to your point, it was just a few weeks ago that we had the ambassador mm-hmm. Bremberg and Mr. Ken Pope, who was speaking at Liberty Classical Academy, did.
Yes.
And what we realize is that while America gets accused of oppression, it is the very opposite, in the sense that countries like China, countries like Venezuela, like Russia, wherever communism is where true oppression has laid. And loss of life, you know, people being abused. And yet the very people who say that America is an oppressive place and white oppression is alive and well in America are not willing to call out China, are not willing to call out the CCP, what they're doing to the Uyghurs. Mm-hmm. They're not willing to call out the companies, the corporations that use the Uyghur labor.
Mm-hmm.
They won't question it. And yet they will boycott any company in the U.S. for the slightest little,
Come on, guys. Problem. Can't we recognize empty virtue signaling by now? Yeah. I mean, come on.
But that's what's popular.
So
even if everybody recognizes it as being empty, it's still the accepted norm. It's like mm-hmm. the norms have changed mm-hmm. and this is the new norm. And mm-hmm. this is what you do to be in, to mm-hmm. be right, to be respected, to be listened to in these elite circles.
And you know what the common thread to all of that is? I've been thinking about this a lot. Promoting envy.
Hmm. Tell me about that.
I just think about that a lot. What is the common theme? And it's someone has something that I don't have, but I should have it. Hmm. And we're all falling into this trap of thinking, and I say we as in, I would say those of us in the United States that generally speaking, when we have a worldwide perspective, that regardless of where we fall in the socioeconomic span of things in the United States, if you take us from a worldwide perspective, we are some of the wealthiest people in the world mm-hmm. and we have some of the greatest privileges in the world. And we've really fallen into this way of thinking that I'm just, number one, entitled to these things mm-hmm. because I'm breathing. And two, instead of encouraging ourselves and our children to look up to people with real accomplishment and encourage them to see how many late nights did that person have to stay up? How many weekends did that person have to work? How many ways did they live below their means to save up for whatever it is that you're looking at? But all you see is the brand new thing that they're either driving or the huge academic accomplishment that they have. And we're really falling into this habit of envy. Mm-hmm. And we're putting it up on a pedestal for people, saying the cool thing to do, like you just said, this is the cool thing to do, mm-hmm. to covet what other people have, mm-hmm. instead of teaching gratitude mm-hmm. for what we do have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, gratitude. And it's interesting that you say the word gratitude. The FAIR organization, Foundation mm-hmm. Against Intolerance and Racism, the gentleman who started that, Bayon is his first name, and he pulled his kids out of a private top school in Manhattan because of some of these diversity, equity, and inclusion practices that had just gone too far, right? Mm-hmm. And one of his values that he adds and really talks about when he talks about the Foundation Against Intolerance and Racism, and how do we have a conversation about race without assuming the worst, without assuming that everybody is white privileged, everybody mm-hmm. is an oppressor. He talks about the word gratitude. He mm-hmm. said, it starts with gratitude. Yep. And if we can't be comfortable and happy with where we are in life, and we're constantly looking at someone else yep. and what they have, then it breeds that dissatisfaction, and then it breeds blame.
Yep.
And you know, we've said this frequently too on our show. We've had our Exodus women come on, mm-hmm. and they are five amazing local Black women here, all of whom are very opposed to these anti-racist, quote unquote, I'm going to say mm-hmm. quote unquote, anti-racist yep. practices. And they all have children in schools and, you know, have had to pull them from certain schools, saying, look, if you aren't going to teach my child that life isn't always easy
yeah.
and that you have to work hard for your grades, and if you're going to constantly tell them that they're a victim simply because of the color of their skin, my child's not going to succeed. Mm-hmm. It's going to become a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what I think people don't realize, is that all these practices, and this was pointed out by one of the articles that we referenced at the beginning of the show, is that in no case are we really seeing an improvement
no.
in racial relations. And in fact, in corporations where they're using these practices, they're finding that actually it's worse. And even hiring practices aren't changing in terms of putting people in these top-level positions, because what really matters is, are you prepared to do what your job is that you're being hired to do?
Mm-hmm.
And if you're not, you're not going to last. Even if you get hired in that position, you're not going to last in that position. And so how unfair to these young children
mm-hmm.
in these schools, both public and private, I say again, to tell them, oh, you don't really have to get a good grade. We'll just change the way we grade so that make it look like your grades are better than they actually are.
Yep.
Or so that you don't really have to do your homework, mm-hmm. so that you really don't have to study for that test. And then when they're really not prepared, and then they go off into the real world and have to try to find a job, A, good mm-hmm. luck. And then B, if you do, you still have to perform.
Yep.
And so how in the world, how does anybody in their right mind think that this is helping?
Nope. It's not.
It's just mind-boggling to me.
Well, I mean, we've talked quite a bit about, you know, how much this is working into corporations. It's not just schools.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, but the schools are spending quite a bit of money on this, you all. So mm-hmm. just know.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they're spending hundreds of thousands of dollars incorporating all of these strategies mm-hmm. in here. I was one of the articles that Rebecca and I were looking at in preparation for this. The show was, they're just talking about the number of different quote unquote consulting groups
yep,
that school districts are hiring. Mm-hmm. And you just have to kind of think, and I thought to myself, and they're spending, you know, $400,000 a pop
mm-hmm.
taxpayer funds mm-hmm. on these things. And I think, wait a minute, a DEI consulting group or a anti-racist consulting group, well, they won't have a job if they don't find some
something
racism,
wrong,
right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
I mean, Oh, yeah.
I mean, well, it's like having your house inspected. They're always going to find something.
They're always going to find something that needs to be replaced or need to be bought, or they don't get paid.
Right, right. So, yeah, and that is a pattern that we're seeing too, that slowly but surely that becomes a department in and of itself. So you hire one diversity, equity, and inclusion specialist to work at the school, and suddenly you need more and more and more, and suddenly there's more and more trouble and not enough diversity or equity or inclusion. And then they hire the consultants and then bring them into, and you're right.
They bring staff on board. And like you were saying, well, what in the world will the staff do if they walk in and they go, wow, everybody's doing great. Mm-hmm. You know, then everybody's going, wait a minute, why do we need to pay you close to, you know, $250,000 or more a year? Right. It's like, so you better, you better find something to do. Mm-hmm. And, you know, really most people are treating each other and wanting to treat each other well.
Yeah.
I mean,
there obviously are still times and situations that occur that are, you know, horribly racist and wrong. And I don't think anybody that has in this conversation would disagree with that.
Absolutely.
And want to correct that. But these practices to basically just as Ibram Kendi says in his book, you know, How to Be an Anti-Racist, he's basically saying the only way to stamp out racism is with more racism. Mm-hmm. And now, by the way, he has a new book out for young people, for teenagers.
Oh, well, good.
And so now, you know, we're gonna help these young people have the same ideas as him. And, you know, St. Paul Public Schools, many school districts around the Twin Cities hired the Pacific Education Group out of California to the tune of hundreds of thousands of dollars as well, to teach their white teachers that you are the problem. Mm-hmm. You are white oppressors. You don't understand black culture, and therefore you are the problem. Mm-hmm. And yet, are we seeing any improvement in the student behavior? No, we're actually seeing an exacerbation of negative and antisocial behavior. So once again, are we helping these kids or are we harming them with these practices?
Yep.
And we need to ask ourselves. Well, one of the heroes of trying to fight back against this is Florida's Governor Ron DeSantis.
Yes.
And of course, Youngkin
yes,
as well.
Yes, he's doing a very nice job
in,
as well.
In Virginia. But Florida's governor, as he said, you know, Florida is where woke comes to die. Was that his quote, I think, a while
back? No, did he?
Something
oh, that's
like
awesome.
That. Yep. Florida is where woke comes to die. And then he now is putting his money where his mouth is. And I'm sure many people have heard by now that he was pushing back on the AP U.S. history curriculum because it was, or was it the Black history curriculum?
It was the African-American AP curriculum.
Yeah. And in addition, I did just read an article that in response, they are, the AP, the College Board, is changing the content. And I believe they're changing the content on the U.S. history class as well.
Oh, that's phenomenal.
Because that had also gone very far down the other path. So it'll be interesting. We'll see if it really is true. But not only did Florida's governor speak out against that AP curriculum, but he's also just signed the Stop Woke Act. And so this is one of the things that he's, of course, coming under fire. He's come under a lot of fire there, but he stands his ground and amazingly often is able to put these things, these measures through that he's trying to get through.
Mm-hmm.
And his desire is to prohibit, you know, to quote the bill prohibits workplace training or school instruction. So this is for schools and corporations, right, that teach that individuals are inherently racist, sexist, or oppressive, whether consciously or unconsciously. Also, this bill prohibits teaching in either a school or a corporation training that people are privileged or oppressed based on race, gender, or national origin, or that a person bears personal responsibility for, or must feel guilt, anguish, or other forms of psychological distress over the actions committed in the past by members of the same race, gender, or national origin. The law says such trainings or lessons amount to discrimination. Well, good for Governor DeSantis.
I mean,
where are the rest of the Republican governors on this topic?
He continues to lead the way.
Yeah.
He is the governor to watch.
Yes, he is.
And I am encouraged to see that a number of governors are beginning to take notes. Mm. I'm particularly heartened by his approach with pushback in the media. We think he's doing a great job down there. Clearly, his reelection statistics that he's doing a fantastic job and the people of Florida really appreciate him. Yeah. However, the media loves to skewer him, and I absolutely appreciate that there's no apologies.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, all of the phrases of, you know, terrible things that he is by people who disagree, instead of, again, engaging on the ideas, that's mm-hmm. great. But instead, it's the name calling. I love that there's no apologies from him or from anyone on his team. They just move forward and they do the work. And I mean, man, he just has a lot of fans out there in the United States.
Yeah, he sure does. And he's a model to to watch. And like you said, he's the governor to watch, but he's also a model. I mean, I think when you say that, you're talking about for potentially a presidential run. And I'm just saying, wow, you know, if other Republican governors were as bold and could take a page out of his playbook and
stop apologizing for everything.
Yes.
Stop going out there and being wishy-washy. I absolutely love that everyone, they must have a very cohesive team.
Yes.
I don't want to say that having a cohesive team like that in politics is an easy thing. It's not. So I'm sure that there was a lot of work that went into that. But I'm always impressed that, you know, when they make a move with various types of legislation, they've already thought it through to the end desire. Okay, what do we want to accomplish? How do we work backwards to accomplish this? Mm-hmm. And then they do that. So then he's not caught needing to come out and say, well, I said this, but now I can't do it, so I have to apologize. Or, well, I went this way and, you know, three people didn't like it, so now I'm going to say I'm sorry. Yeah. He has already come out and he moves. When he makes that announcement, you know, wow, this is probably actually going to happen.
Yeah,
and it's very impressive. And I think one of the things that the people of Florida are seeing is, in addition to being good with ideas, his rhetoric is good, he can actually do the job, folks.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think the hurricane down in Florida a few months ago, he had all of those linemen ready to go. Competence is impressive.
Mm-hmm.
Be great to have that again in leadership.
Yes, wouldn't it? Well, and I, you know, compare that to what we are now seeing here in Minnesota.
It's a very different
it's
example.
It's a very different example. And we have a lot of families that are choosing to leave Minnesota and move to states like Florida.
Mm-hmm.
And I think even Democrat governors need to take note and ask themselves, is this leftist ideology so important that I'm willing to destroy my state for it, destroy our schools, destroy our medical systems? Because that is what's happening through all of these anti-racist practices. And there are doctors and teachers and principals that are up in arms around it.
Mm-hmm.
So, well, we have enjoyed being able to have this conversation, and it's an ongoing conversation
Absolutely.
Around this topic. And we do just hope that you will listen to this podcast or any other podcast at savetheclassroom.com. That's savetheclassroom.com. You can follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. And then listen again next week at AM 1280 The Patriot.
Have a good night, everyone.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.